Looking at all three synoptic gospels together, we see that Jesus went to the other side of the lake to get away from the crowds. He's asking us to come with him to a deserted place and there to speak to our hearts and to help us to rest a while in him and get a new perspective from the other side. Jesus is always coming from one place to another. And Mark, he's always moving back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. Sometimes the expression is he's going to the other side and then back again. This place where Jesus is going has been in the news for many years now over in Israel. It is the land right below the Golan Heights is where this area was. And at the time of Christ, the whole region around the lake was very heavily populated. You can see today mostly ruins. Capernaum itself is a city for pilgrims. You know, it wasn't inhabited, but there's a lot of excavation there and churches and things, the Church of the Beatitudes. And in recent years, Magdala, today's the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene, actually. And Magdala, when I first went to Israel in 1998, it was completely unexcavated, and now there's a whole city emerging there. And so it's very interesting as slowly they're uncovering what occurred in those times and afterward along the sea. But today it's not particularly safe to live in that area, and so it's very undeveloped farms and things, and that's about it. Israeli kibbutzes and that sort of thing. It's gotten more dangerous again lately. That border's kind of heated up a little bit now. But in those days, they had what was called the ten cities of the Decapolis, and they began in the northeastern part of the sea and went all the way down the Jordan River close to the Dead Sea. And so these cities were all founded by Romans or taken over by the Romans. And so the Jews didn't go there. So Jesus is once again headed to a pagan area like Tyre and Sidon, Caesarea Philippi, Tiberias. These were all Roman cities. Some were even on top of Jewish cemeteries, so the Jews wouldn't normally go there. Jesus doesn't get away with it, though. He finds the people have got there before him. So he's going straight across the lake in a boat. They see him going. He knows this, but the disciples don't. And they, even though their way is longer and it's by on foot and it's through many cities, they get there before the disciples, which tells us that they went across the water very slowly. They weren't in any hurry to get there. But Jesus is going to teach the disciples their plans are going to be interrupted when they get there. What do you do when your vacation doesn't turn out the way you expect it is? It could be an opportunity. I'm sure the disciples weren't thrilled to see that crowd after spending all that time going around different cities. Jesus invites us to a different perspective in life. He himself came from another place. We live, the gap between our world and God's is like an infinite sea that we can't cross, we can't see, we can't know about it unless God reveals it to us. It's beyond the five senses. By design, we are not allowed to see it, yet it is very real. You know, science is full of things that we can't see but are quite real. Particle physics is, I find it fascinating. Most people find it boring. I enjoyed my talks with Deacon Ty last year because that's what was his specialty. But these sorts of things, we need revelation in order to see it. The head exorcist of Rome, whose name was Father Amertoth, I always forget which it is. I read two of his books. He's now deceased, but he was the head exorcist of Rome under four different popes, including Pope Francis. And he said, I can clarify the news for you pretty easily. He said, there really are only two movements going on in this world, good and evil, God and Satan. And Satan is not God's equal. Satan is a defeated angel who is on his way to perdition. But God makes it appear equal so that we will have a free choice. In fact, there is no equality. But evil, all the forces of evil we see around us are coming from that side, trying to mislead us. And what my point in saying that is, he said that that the whole point of the movement of the evil one in the world today is an attempt to bring humanity back 5,000 years before the first revelation of Abraham, to a world in which God is utterly unknown, that we have no purpose but to our lives, that we're nothing but accidents, we die in oblivion, and we do whatever the heck we want. A world like that is one where only the strong prevail and the weak are destroyed. And that is not the world that we want to live in. And that's the world that Satan wants for us, one in which we don't know the truth. That's that dialectic materialism that we have today that can't see beyond the five senses. That's the fallen world that Jesus entered coming from the other side. He came back into the world he created to reopen the eyes of humanity to what we've lost. God originally intended us and created us to know him from the very beginning, to know why we're suffering, to know that we have a goal in our lives, that there is a place we're going, that we are created. And yet we seem to have lost sight of that. I was watching something, or I was reading something last night. It was an online magazine that I get, and about the human brain, that the marvels of the human brain are, all I know is about sleep. And it was National Geographic, actually, it was on sleep, and it was saying that the marvels of what the human brain does in its sleep, it's more active in sleeping than in waking. And in that magazine, which is obviously not a Christian periodical, but it said there is nothing more complex in all the universe that we know of but our own brains, which put themselves together from one cell all by themselves. But that's an accident that occurred because of an explosion 14 billion years ago. Shake well and a human brain will come out the other end, you know? Well, I know I'm oversimplifying the argument, but isn't that basically it? And Lord, I was going to say to people that thought that, did you really think that was the truth? And we'll see what our real motives were. We're all misled with ourselves, every one of us. You know, we're struggling to do God's will. The disciples are getting a lesson. You know, you think you're going on vacation, do you? I'm putting you back to work. You signed up with me. You don't know what I'm going to ask you. Come and follow me and I'll show you what I want. You know, we're in the boat in the middle of the water. We're halfway between where we were and where we're going. God is the one in charge, and every so often he gives us an insight about life so that we can see really what's going on. I had the opportunity to do a committal or a burial for someone who doesn't go to church here at this parish, and they were actually from Ohio. I recognized the accent that they're from Canton. I grew up in Akron. So anyway, I was burying this individual, and not knowing who it was at all, you come down to the same two or three lessons that life is very temporary, and what we really have and are the people that we affected in our lives. If not for good, then we are forgiven if we ask for it. The way we touched others, the people we loved and were loved, our faith, and that's about it. You know, when you come to that realization, that's God giving us a new perspective. Do you really think that's all there is? Do you really think this is the only world that we live in? It isn't. And so our Lord invites all of us to go from Capernaum to the other side, from one place to another. We're all going back and forth. And one day he will take us with us from the sea to a world unseen now, but the really real, where all of this came from, to sit at the Creator's table and to eat with him while he explains our lives and all of human history. In the meantime, we gather with the apostles, striving to see through faith what we cannot see yet with our eyes, and even now to catch glimpses of the world of the future where we belong.